Now turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Whether, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, nor vinegar or strong drink, neither shall he eat any. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in the which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, or for his mother, for his brother, or for his sister, when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. And on the eighth day he shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, and make an atonement for him, for he that sinned by the dead, and shall hallow his head that same day. And he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering, but the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. And this is the law of the Nazarite: when the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for peace offerings, and a basket of unleavened bread cakes, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and their meat offering and their drink offerings. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord, and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering. And he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord with the basket of unleavened bread. The priest shall offer also his meat offering and his drink offering. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it in the fire, which is under the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall take the sodden shoulder of the ram, and one unleavened cake out of the basket, and one unleavened wafer, and shall put them upon the hands of the Nazarite after the hair of his separation is shaven, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. This is holy for the priest, with the wave breast and the heave shoulder, and after that the Nazarite may drink wine. This is the law of the Nazarite, who hath vowed and of his offering unto the Lord for his separation, beside that his hand shall get, according to the vow which he vowed, so he must do after the law of his separation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, so when we talk about the Nazirite here, we are talking about a vow that was taken voluntarily, and yet it speaks of something that, you know, it's one of those instances where you have something special that is done to point to something that ought to be general to all of the people. That while the Nazirite was a special estate, and a man could come forward, or a woman, and say, I'm going to enter into this Nazirite vow. And so during all the time of that vow, they were not allowed to eat anything with regard to the fruit of the vine. So no grape juice, no wine, no raisins, nothing. They couldn't even have dolmades. You know what dolmades is, right? Grape leaves, stuffed grape leaves. They couldn't do that. Now, I'm sure they didn't eat dolmades in those days, but still, it's just to bring home the point. They couldn't even have anything that came off of the vine, not even a leaf. They were not to go after that at all. So they were to stay back from wine, which brings joy to the heart of man, right? So then they were also to stay back from any kind of cutting of their hair. And that was in reference to not spending the time they normally would spend in personal hygiene. Can I say it that way? So that there was a time when they were dedicating themselves from anything that might seem as if they were caring for themselves, that was signified in letting their hair grow. Now, the letting of their hair grow, according to many commentators, and I'm inclined to agree with this, especially for the side of the ladies that would take this vow, also means not particularly brushing it out, right? Not particularly taking care. In other words, there's a drawing back from what we would normally do in care for our appearance that is undertaken in this Nazirite vow, because we are dedicating ourselves wholly unto the Lord instead of all those other things. The third thing that they were not allowed to do was to come near to a dead body. Now, I want you to understand how grievous this would be. This is also something that is a hardship. It's a hardship to say no wine. It's a hardship to say I'm not going to dress and care for myself like I normally would, with my hair especially. But it's also a hardship if your mother or father dies, not to be involved with your brothers and sisters in the burying of your relative. You could not do that. All the time of your vow, you were to stay away from dead bodies. Notice, he may not defile himself for his father, for his mother, any of his near kin. And for an Israelite, that is a true hardship. That is a cause of weeping. So, this is not let's not entertain any romantic notions of this vow. This is a vow whereby someone draws back from everything that is pleasant in that sense and dedicates themselves unto the Lord for a particular stated amount of time. And there was no particular amount of time that was required in the vow. The man or woman simply declared it at the beginning of the vow. 30 days, 40 days, 1 week, whatever it was. The only stated time that was sure was the time of the separation. And here's what happened. Let's say that Shmuley asks the Nazirite over, I won't have any wine in the house, I'm serving up a little bit of lamb, please come over. And so he walks in the door and Shmuley's granddad is there, and tragically he expires while he's in the house. He becomes defiled. And if it's before the end of the days of his separation, then that is a sin. That is counted a sin upon him because he has broken his vow prematurely to the Lord. And so he has to offer an extra offering in testimony to the fact that he has broken his vow before he said he would. When we think of all this, isn't it really interesting to remember the patience of God as he dealt with Samson throughout all of his breaking of his Nazirite vow? How did Samson break his Nazirite vow? Well, one of the first things he did was he ate honey out of the carcass of a lion. He went right up to a dead body, didn't he? First he slew the lion, and which was okay in and of itself in an act of self-defense. But then later when the bees had made a nest in the carcass of that lion, he went to that dead body and took some of that honey. The other thing is, the spirit of the Nazarite vow was self-denial. But what was Samson? Well, he was one of the most self-indulgent men that we've ever read of in the Scripture, right? And so if not in the letter, certainly in the spirit of the Nazarite vow, we see Samson breaking that vow over and again, don't we? Okay, but back to Numbers chapter 6. So then if you broke your vow prematurely, you must bring an extra offering. And you had a week of separation to do that. So from the day that you broke it, you counted 7 days. And you lived 7 days in this estate where you had knowingly broken your vow and yet not brought to a place where you might go forth and shave your head and drink wine and so on. And then at the end of that 7 days, you brought your offering, and then after that you were restored. But notice that you could not eat the meal, the peace offering meal that came at the end of a successful vow, because that was because you had broken your vow prematurely, and so you didn't get to come to the end of that vow and do all of those other things. Now, for the Nazarite that successfully kept the term of his vow, he came to the door of the tent of meeting, and he had a couple of offerings with him for sin and then for separation. And then also he had a peace offering that he brought that was the ram and the bread cakes. And these were put upon his own hands. He was offering them up before the Lord, and it was as if that the Lord was receiving him at the end of his Nazarite vow. And he sat with the priest and with other members of the Nazarite's family, and they would sit and they would eat the wave shoulder and the heave thigh of the ram itself, and those cakes they were given to them so that they might eat and rejoice before the Lord their God. And the Lord received them into his presence and ate and drank symbolically, sacramentally, with them in that peace offering. What does this teach us? What is the moral application of this into the New Testament? Because, brothers and sisters, let's just make it clear. Since there's no priest to receive your offering, you don't get to do a Nazarite vow anymore. Now, you can do something like that, and you can call it a Nazarite vow. And I've personally known people that have said, oh, no, I'm not drinking right now. I'm taking a Nazarite vow, and I'm letting my hair grow and so on. Okay, you can call it that, but it's not a Nazarite vow. A Nazarite vow includes bringing the offerings to the priest at the end of the vow. And guess what? There's no priest, and so there's no offerings, and so there's no Nazarite vow. But there is a moral equivalent. You know what it is? Some of you do. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, right? That really we are to live lives consecrated unto the Lord. That we are those living sacrifice is holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. You see, what the Nazarite vow pointed to was that truly we owe God everything that we are and everything that we have. That he who holds our very breath in his hand is the one to whom we owe all allegiance and to whom we vow and to whom we swear. So then the end of the passage speaks of another signatory thing. It doesn't rise to the level of being a sacrament, but it is a sign of something. And that is what we call the Aaronic benediction. Right? And you've heard that before, haven't you? Well, yeah. We close every first service with it. I was talking to my family about this last night. Some benedictions that ministers offer at the end of services are things that they do extemporaneously, things that maybe they have written themselves, or maybe some other divines from years ago have written, and they have picked that up. I don't do that. And the reason I don't do that is because of this particular passage. You see this? Notice what it says. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise bless ye the children of Israel, saying unto them. The Lord has put the words of the blessing in Aaron's mouth and in his son's mouth. Now, there are other benedictions in Scripture besides this one. And we use those as well. But I want those benedictions to be inspired. I want those to be the Lord's blessing that comes on you. And so, notice what the Lord says. And they, that is those priests that bless in the name of the Lord, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Notice what the Lord promises, and I will bless them. And so we should crave the blessing at the end of the service, because the Lord promises to bless. Thus ends the reading then of Numbers chapter 6. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.